Sunday the 15th of March 2020, 9 o'clock service. Sermon series, God Speaks. Sermon title, The One True God. Bible reading, Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 18 through to chapter 3 verse 2. And our talk is by Darrell Williams.
This morning's reading is taken from Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 18 to 20, and 3, verse 2, part of Habakkuk's prayer. Of what value is an idol, since a man has carved it, or an image that teaches lies? For he who trusts it trusts in his own creation. He makes idols that cannot speak. Woe to him who says to wood, "Come to life," or to lifeless stone, "Wake up." Can it give guidance? It is covered with gold and silver. There is no breath in it. But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth be silent before him. Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds, O Lord. Renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
How's that? Oh, you see, I'm just really loud. I don't know if that's a good or bad thing. Right, good morning, everyone. How are you all doing? Right, okay, so, Lord, I have heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Lord, repeat them in our day. In our time, make them known. In wrath, remember mercy. A powerful beginning to Habakkuk's prayer. A prophet who was facing uncertain times. He knew a difficult future lay ahead for Israel. He had called upon God to act because the government of the time was corrupt and that the people were turning away from God's word. He wanted justice, but he is shaken by God's response. He is told the Babylonians would invade, and they are a ruthless people. Habakkuk initially seeks to make an appeal to God, asking if a different course of action was possible. But a realization sinks in that the Babylonians were indeed coming. Although he questions God and asks for a different course of action, he has to accept what he has been told. In his prayer, his faith, even though he has struggled to understand why God would allow the Babylonians to invade, remains strong. He knows the reputation of God. He knows of God's love and mercy, of his forgiveness. And despite Israel's many failings, God has continually called Israel back to repentance, to turn from the error of their ways back to the Lord. Habakkuk accepts that difficult times are now ahead, but calls on God to repeat his good deeds. He is asking God to call on Israel once more, to repent, to turn from its sinful ways. His prayer is that God will again call upon his people to know him, in the time of wrath, to remember mercy. I'm sure none of you here this morning would have been able to escape the news. On a daily basis, we have round-the-clock media reports on the spread of the coronavirus. As is often the case, there is a mix of balanced media reporting as well as the sensational newspaper headlines. Throughout the world, different countries are implementing various measures in an attempt to contain or limit the spread of the virus. In the last 24 hours, the number of reported deaths in the UK has sadly doubled. UK flights to Spain were turned around mid-air as confirmed cases of the virus in Spain has reached over 6,000 cases and the country prepared to enter lockdown. The USA extended its travel ban, which came into force for 26 European countries at the weekend, to also include UK and Ireland from Tuesday. France ordered closure of all non-essential places used by the public amid fears that the outbreak is accelerating. Italy, the worst hit country after China, has had over 15,000 confirmed cases. None of us know how long this situation may continue for. It is already having an impact on our lives as the virus increasingly creates more disruption. It's affecting us in numerous ways, from our workplaces implementing new procedures, events and conferences being cancelled, having to change travel plans, and even here in church this morning, we are needing to consider different measures to help limit the spread of the virus. Hopefully, many of these are just precautionary measures, but it is important that we do them. There may be more difficult measures and disruption to come. There will, of course, be some who question if such things are God's judgment on the world, or as I discussed in my previous talk on Habakkuk, lead people to question that if there is a God, why do bad things happen? I think the first thing to note when looking back at Habakkuk is that the relationship between man and God was changed by the dramatic intervention of God in the world. Whilst difficult and troubled times were ahead for Israel, the prophet in his prayers knew God by his reputation. He knew of God's amazing deeds and promises. God does show mercy, and beyond anything the prophet could have realised. The nature of the relationship between us and God is changed dramatically through the birth of Jesus, who walked with us, experienced both our joy and our sufferings, and took our sins upon the cross. Now anyone, not just a chosen nation, can seek God in their lives and know his salvation. Whilst the nature of the relationship between us and God changed, we do not have immunity to the troubles of this world. The world is a broken place and bad things happen. It is because of this brokenness that God takes dramatic intervention in the first place and sent Jesus to be amongst us. Our peace and security does not come from this world, but by knowing that if we have accepted Jesus into our lives, that we are already experiencing the joy and peace that comes from being in the kingdom of God. How, as Christians, should we respond to challenging times when our faith is tested, when difficult things are happening around us, when our daily routines are interrupted? We learn this answer from the opening of this morning's passage in Habakkuk. The answer is, we need to trust God. Let's look back at the opening of this morning's reading, Habakkuk 2, verse 18. Oh, what value is an idol carved by a craftsman, or an image that teaches lies? For the one who makes it trusts in his own creation, he makes idols that cannot speak. As I was studying and reviewing notes here, there are four headings that I want to share a few thoughts with you this morning. Seek God with all your heart. Trust in God and him alone. Stand firm in the truth of the Gospels. In difficult and uncertain times, the church should be the bedrock of our community. Seek God with all your heart. It is human nature to turn to our own methods of comfort when we should be seeking God. One of the problems I had trying to grasp the disobedience of Israel in the Old Testament was the foolishness of their behaviour. One of the perhaps slightly more unusual stories in the Old Testament is how the Israelites were guided during their exodus by the Lord in the presence of a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. Exodus chapter 13, 21, 22. By day the Lord went ahead of them in a pillar of cloud to guide them on their way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, so that they could travel by day or night. Neither the pillar of cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night left its place in front of the people. The thing I struggled with is not the unusual manifestation of the presence of God as a pillar of a cloud, but how even when the Israelites experienced this direct presence of God in their lives, they were still constantly disobedient. They were experiencing the supernatural and witnessed the physical presence of God with them, yet somehow they still doubted and questioned God. Well, I guess I received my answer by some of the events that have been occurring in the last few days. Even in modern times and with advanced science and technology, we have seen how some of the general public have ignored scientific experts and have displayed irrational behaviour. It is common to see members of the general public wearing face masks, even though medical experts have made clear that the best way for the general public to protect itself is through good hand hygiene. What is worse still is people stockpiling face masks when they do not need them could lead to a shortage of masks for those who do need them, such as healthcare workers. At least I can understand that even if face masks are not generally proving to be an effective defence against coronavirus, why some people might feel reassured by wearing one. But then there has been the panic buying of toilet paper. Why? Why are people panic buying toilet paper for what is a respiratory disease? The reality is people have reacted to internet rumours whilst demonstrating a complete mistrust of the governing authorities. Even when the public have been offered the best science, even when the Israelites have had the direct presence of God in the form of a pillar of cloud with them, we can still turn away from God and back to other comforts which are simply not going to help us. What value is an idol? How is fighting over toilet paper going to protect us against viruses? We need to seek God. Trusting God and in Him alone. We can create many false idols for ourselves. While most of us would not contemplate carving an idol out of wood, we have to be careful that we do not create other idols in our lives. When we are struggling, under stress or anxious, it is too easy to turn to things which are not good for us. We all make mistakes, we are all fallible, but we need to be careful that we do not fall regularly into bad habits, which could have a negative impact on our health and well-being. We need God's guidance. And it is good to encourage each other within the church through prayer and fellowship. Bring everything to the Lord through prayer and petition. Proverbs 3, 5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him and he will make your paths straight. Stand firm in the truth of the Gospels. It is during times of trial our faith can face its greatest challenges. We can be at our most selfish, defensive, and faith can be at its weakest. Often when we look at prophets such as Habakkuk, we comment about how they make their complaints to God. I question if any of these complaints were driven by fear or anxiety. He knows the Babylonians, a wicked and cruel people, are going to attack. This was not pleasant news, and it must have been hard to accept. I think sometimes when you study passages, we can miss some of the details, some of the hard realities, some of the emotions of the situation that are being addressed. In our daily walk with Christ, we can face situations which may not seem fair. I'm sure many of you have already heard of and will hear many stories over the coming weeks of how this crisis, the coronavirus, will bring out both the best and the worst of humanity. There'll be stories that will make us angry and sad, whilst others will give us hope and encouragement. Remember the difference between the wise and foolish builders, as described in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, 24 to 27. The wise builder who hears the words of Jesus and puts them into practice is like the man who built his house on rock, whereas the foolish builder who hears Jesus' words but does not put them into practice is like one who builds his house on sand. When the storms come, the house on rock stands firm, but the house built on sand falls. The wise listen to God's words. The foolish, like described by Habakkuk, create for themselves false idols who cannot provide any help or assistance. In difficult and uncertain times, the church should be the bedrock of our community. Many of us will feel anxiety around the coronavirus, as will our families, friends, and work colleagues. God is our refuge and our strength. As the coronavirus continues to present challenges to our community, please be sensible, be responsible, and measured. Make sure you listen to the correct guidance from the professionals, turn to things like the NHS website, and we should all by now be aware of the importance of good hand hygiene and washing our hands. Let's remain calm, and again, let's be measured. But let us also remember that we'll have many conversations with people who may feel vulnerable and have concerns. As a community, let's seek to help and reassure people as much as we can. I leave you this morning with Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Amen.